I too bring the greetings of my people and the leadership of York Minster Park Baptist Church. It's a privilege for us to be sharing in this service with you as well, and for us, all of us, to be partners also in the Lester Randall Preaching Fellowship, and we're so grateful for the leadership of this church in partnership with us. And congratulations on 200 years. It's marvelous. And this service is beautiful. And to think we're with some of these, that's a beautiful hymn, Malcolm. Thank you for that. And I see Stephanie is here. That was a lovely anthem. And these choirs, it's just beautiful. We're so privileged to be here with you. And I, on a personal note, have a great sense of joy of being in my friend's church and in your pulpit. It's a great honor. Malcolm is a dear friend. And today is not only 200 years, but it's also his 30th anniversary in this church to the day. And during these years, and I know there are other clergy who would say the same, he is a great friend. And there are times when I have been not even sure, just going through some uncertainty, and the phone will ring, and it will be Malcolm, and it's just as if he's known it was the right time to call. I have such a great appreciation for you, Malcolm, and it is a joy to share in this occasion with you. God bless you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The psalm we read today begins, in some translations, with that wonderful line, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely. Now, in our translation, it said it a little different, "How dear," but "how lovely" just resonates with me. And I chose that text not simply because it's the 200th anniversary of this lovely church and a lovely people bearing witness in this community, but also with Malcolm in mind, because there are a number of times that I've come into the church with Malcolm, or I've been here for a service, or I've been here to preach or speak on other occasions, and Malcolm's come to me afterwards and said, "Did you feel it? Did you feel it? Isn't it lovely?" He'll say, "Isn't it lovely?" It's his sense of awe and reverence for this space and for all that it represents, for the fellowship of this congregation, for the witness of the gospel in this place. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it? It's exactly what the psalmist was saying, Psalm 84. Now, the psalmist, it seems, was perhaps a long ways away from Jerusalem and was longing to be there. He said, my heart, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I don't know if you've ever been to the western wall of what remains, the only remaining part of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. But if you've ever been there, and perhaps on a Friday evening, when people gather around their rabbis, almost like a football huddle, and they'll sing and they'll dance and they'll listen to the teaching, and there's this incredible joy, there's this amazing sense of connection. God is here among us. This is the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts. In the mystery of the universe, he's chosen to make his home with us. How marvelous, how lovely. How lovely it is. But the psalmist was feeling far away, and his heart was just longing for a touch. Perhaps he was thinking of the music. Perhaps just the space. And his heart went right back, longing for God, to the temple. Lovely indeed, the dwelling place of God amongst us. I was speaking with a friend a few weeks back, and we were exchanging conversation about summer vacation. I asked him what he'd done on his vacation. He told me that he'd been to Barcelona, and that he's an architect, and he'd been in Barcelona, and he'd gone to Gaudi's Sagrada Familia, that great basilica church that people line up to get into, that's still not finished after more than 100 years, but perhaps you know it. I don't know if you've been there. I haven't yet, but it's on my bucket list. With the columns that rise just rise and rise. And they're decorated like trees. And then those great towers and the beams of light that comes down. He was describing it to me. I've seen the pictures, but it was just, he used the word, lovely. Lovely. There's something lovely about church, about the sense of the incarnate presence, about the fellowship, about the communion of saints, all the things that draw us together, the meeting place. Something so lovely about it that speaks to something deep in our soul. Now, lovely is a funny word. I looked it up, and the first thing that comes up for lovely is pretty or handsome. And when Malcolm walks in and says to me, isn't it lovely? He's not saying pretty or handsome, it may be. He's saying something deeper and more profound. I think Stevie Wonder got it best when he wrote that song right after his daughter was born. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she precious? Isn't she lovely made from love? That's it. Lovely made from love. That's what Malcolm means. That's what the psalmist means. It's this the outpouring of God's love for the world, and this is the meeting place. This is the place to hear again the good news. This is the place to gather with the family, to bring the world in prayer. Lovely, made from love. My friend said to me, what did you do on your family vacation, on your summer vacation? He knows my regular vacation spot on Vancouver Island where we go, but I told him because he goes nearby, and I said, you know, it was so hot this summer. It was hot everywhere. I said, it was so hot that I said, we just needed to get away for a little bit, and we went somewhere we'd never been. So we drove up the island. We drove past Nanaimo, if you know Vancouver Island, past Qualicum, past Courtenay, even beyond Campbell River, which is a little more than halfway up the island. And we drove for hours beyond that until we came to a place, Port McNeil, and we got on a ferry. And we went about half an hour or 40 minutes across on a ferry to a little island that we'd never been to before. It was remote. But it was the first place we'd been in weeks where the temperature wasn't over 30 degrees. It was only 20 degrees on this little... I didn't tell you the name of the island. You're not going to believe this, but you can ask my wife. You can look on a map. It's Malcolm Island. Seriously. It's Malcolm Island, and it may be... Not you, but it may be remote... It may be that you can't, you pull out your phone and suddenly you realize you can't get a connection. You climb to the nearby hill and you hold it up and there's no bars on your phone, no internet. But in a world that at times seems to go mad, it was a relief for a few days at least to get away from all that and connect with something higher, something greater, and that we did. On Malcolm Island, not only did we beat the heat and disconnect from so much, but we reconnected. There's something marvelous about Malcolm Island. It's only 24 kilometers long. It's about 3 kilometers across at the widest place. They say the population is 600, but I didn't see 600 people. I think that it's a little bit like a church membership list. They probably take the roll call on Christmas Eve. I don't know. There's one paved road that's about 8 kilometers long. But all the tension in the world just seemed to go away. It was lovely. Lovely. Why was it so cool? When many other islands and all along the coast, it was so hot. I think part of the reason, although I'm not a climatologist, but part of the reason is that that little island, Malcolm Island, gets enveloped every morning in the summer with this mist. It comes at night and it doesn't leave till noon. They call the month of August Frogist on Malcolm Island. And it's really something to stand on the pier in the morning as the ferry is coming in from Port McNeil. You can hear the ferry coming, but you can't see it. There's this mist, this fog. And it comes into the pier, and there it is all of a sudden. And to think that they've crossed through, and there's all kinds of trouble you could get into, but they've made that the safety of that voyage without being able to see. The arms of that ship enfold everyone and bring them safely across. There's something lovely about that. I didn't see a lot of religious indications of religious life on the island, but oh, the faith. There's faith there, getting on that ship, letting it carry you through the mist and the mysteries, all of the unsolved things in our lives, the difficulties, the challenges. That's not all. Wonder was alive on that island too. Wonder on Malcolm Island. My wife and I went to a trail and walked on this trail through a rainforest. It was called the Beautiful Bay Trail. And it runs up the east side of the island, and it goes, as I say, through a rainforest. Sometimes it comes out to the coast, but primarily it's in the forest. And there are these incredible trees that just rise up and up. Douglas fir and Sitka spruce trees. And the trail winds beneath them, and you're so small. They're so immense. And they have their own climate. It was in the afternoon, so it was now sunny. But in the rainforest, there was a gentle, gentle rain coming down. Its own little climate. Amazing, lovely, beautiful, the Beautiful Bay Trail. The ground all along it is just carpeted in this emerald green. It's spectacular. There's a point early on where the trail comes out to a beach. It's called Rubbing Beach. And they call it Rubbing Beach because for centuries, it's where the orcas come in a most unusual way that they don't know of other places like this. But the stones are very, very smooth. And the orcas, or killer whales, come in and they rub their bellies on the stones. These incredible creatures. And they're so close. They're right there. And you sit on the beach. And you never know when they're going to come. You may sit there for hours and they don't come. You may just arrive and there they are. People come and they sit in the quiet. And they wait. And the tide, as it retreats, there's this wonderful sound that it makes, music that it makes, as it trickles through the stones. Lovely. Lovely. And then we're back on the trail. A little further along the way, there's something called the Big Tree. It's a Sitka spruce. According to the map in the parking lot of the Beautiful Bay Trail, it's 212 feet high. But the map looks a little weather-worn. I suspect the tree's higher now. And it is growing. Sitka spruce grow to over 300 feet high. They live for hundreds, centuries and centuries. And there it was. This was an enormous tree. I have a photo of it with the tree. And the tree is, I mean, and standing beside the tree is my wife. And she's like this, and the tree's like this. It's just amazing. It's just, there was something so lovely about this. And I stood there and I looked up at this one of creation's skyscrapers. And I stood there and gazed up. You could barely see the top. You're just stretching your neck and you're looking way up towards heaven. And you think of all the storms and the earthquakes that tree has withstood and been through. And, you know, all of at the time, it's not just then, but the continent seemed to be immersed in this sort of political madness. And looking up at that tree, thinking of all that it's been witness to, all it's been through, everything in the world around just seemed like a 24-hour flu bug. You're lost. There's this perspective that's so much greater, that gives a sense of meaning and value beyond the trouble of the day. Reminded me a little bit of Douglas Copeland's book, Life After God. I don't know if you know Copeland or his work, but he wrote a book, Life After God, in which he lamented the fact that he was what he considered to be one of the first generations in humankind raised without the tools of religion. And in one of his stories, he writes about a young man who is searching for meaning. And he goes into a rainforest nearby, not far from where this one was. And he wanders in the rainforest, and at last he finds this great Douglas fir that's fallen, and he begins to count the rings back. And even though he has no religion, he's counting them back. And Douglas Copeland says, counting back, hoping to get back to Jesus. And then he says, almost like the psalmist, my heart longs for God. He says, I need God. There it is. There's a world that's longing. And there's something so great in. There's something so lovely that we have. Oh, and there's a silence in the forest, too. An incredible silence. But then every once in a while it'd be broken. You'd hear from high up in the canopy bird song. And again, you think of the psalmist. Even the sparrow has a home and builds a nest, and the swallow her nest in the temple of God. You know, I thought about that tree, and I thought, you know, if everyone we'd seen on the trail that day, and there weren't that many, if all of us held hands and reached around that tree, even then there would have been room for more. Even then there'd be room for more. Lovely. Lovely. You know, I only know this because my wife is a musician, and she, one of her instruments is the harp. And a few years ago, she bought a harp, and we went to the place where it was being made, and I asked them some questions, and I discovered that the best soundboards are made out of Sitka spruce. And I thought to myself, you know, these great trees, they could fall, they'll die, but then they're raised up, and they bring life and music and lead the dance. Imagine being cut down and raised up to lead the song and the dance. Imagine room for everyone. I said to my friend, I've got my computer right here. Let me show you some pictures, because words just don't describe Malcolm Island. And so I showed him some pictures. He really liked the rubbing beach. He loved the big tree. He couldn't get over it. And then there was a picture. There was a picture of the forest in which the sunbeams were breaking through the canopy, just falling down like this through the mist of the rainforest. And wherever they'd strike on the ground with their light, it just came to life. And he looked at that picture. And he said, "That's it. That's it. That's Gaudí's Sagrada Familia. That's the church. That church with the columns, with decorated like trees, with towers immense, with beams of light coming down." He said, "That's it." And I said, "It's not just that church. Malcolm Island is every church. It's every church." Now, some of you are probably wondering, where exactly is this Malcolm Island? I missed that. Maybe I'll put it on my bucket list too. It's here. Malcolm Island's here. It's Metropolitan United Church, 200 years old. It's over a few blocks, St. Andrew's United. It's around the corner at St. Michael's Cathedral, down the street at St. James Cathedral, up in Midtown at Timothy Eaton Memorial United. It's at Yorkminster Park. It's wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. He is in the midst and in the mist. And there's wonder and there's love, and it is lovely, made from love. Church is the place where phones go off and we look for a deeper connection. Church is the place where we regain a sense of perspective against all the madness in the world and reconnect with something that is eternal, not just temporal. Church offers reliefs from the heated tensions of the world by re-engaging in the ancient rhythms of word and sacrament, prayer and devotion, confession and thanksgiving, all working together with Christ in our midst, restoring our souls. And here too, at the center of our life, is the big tree that takes all our worries, our sins, our wrongs, our mistakes, and rains down in its own microclimate the showers of pure grace and forgiveness and love. And when there seems to be no room for us in the world and we've lost our place, there's always room for one more. For God so loved the world, everyone, and still he calls us all by name. Lovely. Lovely, made from love. Surely someone's thinking, well, church isn't always like that. Sometimes church can be a mess. where there are people, friends, there are misunderstandings, there are shortcomings, there are failings. Wherever you bring people together, there can be a mess, but it doesn't make it any less lovely. We all know people who stopped coming because of something that happened. But it's time to call them back, to rediscover all that's lovely in our life together, in Christ. To call them back. I remember speaking to Malcolm shortly after he'd been to visit an American city, and I said, "Did you go into the big cathedral?" It was fairly new compared to many cathedrals. And he said, "I did." And I said, "What did you think?" He said, "I didn't like it." He said, I went in, looked around, walked out. He said, it wasn't for me. And I said, I was surprised. I said, "Malcolm, why not?" He said, "There's no patina in that place. There's no patina. The signs of aging and wearing in wonder. You know, there's no patina in a church that's perfect. I don't know if you've ever heard of the old saying that if you find the perfect church, for goodness sake, don't join it. But patina in the church is the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy. Of course we make mistakes, but, you know, Malcolm Island wasn't perfect. Had a great name, but, you know, it was home to First Nations for centuries, millennium. 100 years ago, some Finnish settlers came to settle it, to build a utopian community. It didn't last. There's still some of the old buildings, but it didn't last, and dreams were shattered and broken. You know, even along that beautiful Bay Trail, I have to tell you, there were branches that were down. There was a stair down to the beach. The top stair and a long staircase was broken, and someone could easily have fallen. And on some of the stairs and on some of the walkways, there are banana slugs. The name says it all, really. Banana slugs. Malcolm Island wasn't perfect. I sat down on a bench with my wife, and I looked. There was a memorial bench. There was a plaque, and there were two names. They were brothers, and they had my surname, and they were young. And I thought, what happened? And I had to Google it when I got home. And I did, and discovered a sad story. Two brothers who'd fallen into drug abuse. It's not perfect. The world, the church, is not perfect. But the grace and mercy and the presence of Christ and all of that love that rains down and is poured out for us is so lovely. And it is our patina. It gives us a shine beyond all the brokenness. It restores our soul. It raises us up to lead the song and lead the dance in this world. The big tree is the place we gather, the cross of Christ. It's where we know grace and mercy. It's where we discover the patina of the ages. And it's the place to which we need to call the wounded home. It's a place where we need to make room for the stranger, to always open the circle to make room for another. Let's go to the rooftops and shout out this good news. That there is grace and love and mercy in this world. That God in Christ is in the church. And that He has raised us up to be part of His song and to lead His dance. Where's Malcolm Island? It's here. And it's here. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.